Well, good morning. Sorry we're starting a few minutes late this morning. Praise the Lord. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen. The resurrection of our Lord. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. He is risen, he is risen. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. He is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. He is risen, he is risen. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Amen.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the the cold, dark mountain seeking his sheep. Or along by Siloam's fountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Then at last, when on high he sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go.
Amen. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. And you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
We do have a birthday.
Amen.
We want to sing happy birthday to you. So we've got really hot. All right. Turn it down just a little bit, I think. We've got Kathy Trevathan. All right, Miss Kathy. It's coming November the 19th, which is going to be on a Friday. All right. Well, happy birthday. We're going to sing happy birthday to you in a moment. And then we've got a special anniversary coming, March the 15th. That's tomorrow, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, March the 15th. And that's going to be Paul and Pat McCormick's 46th year wedding anniversary. Way to go, lovebirds, right?
Amen.
Big 4-6, amen?
Amen.
All right, well, let's sing some happy birthday to Miss... Any other birthdays? We got everybody? All right, let's sing a happy birthday then.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you.
Happy birthday to you. And many more. And hope James doesn't forget. Amen. All right, Children's Church, you guys ready? All right. There's too many. There's two to go to Children's Church. Well, they were having a big time in the gym this week, man. I saw them during recess or PE or something. They were having a ball. Brother Marco has them running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Well, they're just going nonstop. Well, so glad that you rolled your clocks up. Amen? And my sentiments exactly, Brother James just let out a big old yawn. I'm feeling it, amen? You're an hour short on sleep, right? So, preacher, you better be loud and proud and all that jazz today, or we're all going to be catching flies with the mouths open and all that jazz. Well, so glad you got your clock turned up, and this is Paul McCormick's favorite day of the year. This is when he gets that extra hour of sunlight, Brother Paul. We know you're enjoying this, so and he doesn't mind losing the hour of sleep. I always love falling back because I like that extra hour of sleep. But, everybody to their own. All right, if you have a copy of God's Word, let's take your Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel. We'll pick it up where we left off, verse 27. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. Those of you watching with us online, thank you for being with us. And hopefully you're watching and you won't have to watch this after the fact and you set your clocks up and so you've had your coffee and your breakfast and your cat and your dog are behaving and you're able to tune us all in. We're hoping you're with us. And then let's thank the Lord for our visitors here today. Let's give our visitors a round of applause. Good to have them with us. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 27, the Word of God reads this. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him. 9:27, here we go. Crying out, "Have mercy on us," notice the exclamation, "Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, oh, this is so vitally important. This would be a good spot to dirty up your Bible and underline and put a star. They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Right? Beautiful. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly, notice it says sternly, warned them, "See that no one knows about this." Right? But they, what did they do? They went out and spread the news about him throughout all that land. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy and inerrant word. We praise you today for an opportunity to sing songs of the faith and be in fellowship with one another, Lord, and to be in your word today. And Father God, we pray that you would take this message, you would apply it to our hearts. And Lord, for each and every individual here, for each and every individual listening today, Father God, I pray that you give them exactly what they need. You apply this word to their heart. And Lord, if there's someone out there, someone in here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that this would be the day, this would be the hour, this would be the moment that they invite you in and allow you, Lord, by their faith, trusting in you, they trust in you as Savior and Lord. They literally invite you into their heart to save them, repenting of their sins. Thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross for us. Thank you that you shed your blood to cover our sin. And Lord, thank you that we have a gospel today. We have a direction today. We have a beautiful relationship with you today. And Lord, we just pray that for others that need to make that most important decision. Thank you, God, that you saved us. Thank you that you still save. And Lord, we're praying that you save someone today. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. The title of the message is really simple, and the points are really biographical, just right out of the text, exegetical, if you will. And we're praying and hoping that the Holy Spirit would apply these things to you as the Holy Spirit would see fit in your lives and in your heart and in how you go about your day this coming week. But the title is this: Our Problems versus Faith in Jesus. Our Problems versus Faith in Jesus. And I just basically start off with you this, kind of asking you a question. And that is, do you know that the problems that we face in life, the challenges that we deal with, or the trials that we undergo, or the needs that we have, whatever they may be, these things that we consider problems, the problems we face are never the real problem. Listen to that. Let that sink in. Our issues, our trials, our negative experiences are not problematic. When we realize that we face them in the presence of one for whom nothing is impossible. The problems we face are never the problem when Jesus is present. When He is present. See, the real problem usually lies with us. Can I get an amen on that? In our own lack of faith in Him. As we go through whatever plagues us, we begin to get our eyes off of Jesus. We begin to get our eyes on our circumstance. We begin to get our eyes on our problem. We begin to get our eyes on ourselves. And that's where we go amiss. And so there is a great and very practical lesson for us to learn from this morning's passage. Our passage teaches us that Jesus is a merciful Savior who is sufficient to meet any need for anyone who has sufficient faith in Him. Now, let me tell you something. You may have a need that a loved one not pass away. You may have a need that a loved one be healed. You may have a need that this happen or that happen, and it may not go exactly. That loved one may go on to glory. That situation may not get exactly the way you thought it ought to go. But in God's sovereignty, ultimately, your need will be met if you apply and hold on to that faith in Him. Now, our contextual setting was the time when Jesus left the house of Jairus. You remember him from last week, Jairus, the synagogue ruler, after he had raised the man's 12-year-old daughter from death. So that's the contextual setting. This morning, we want to consider a few of the details, and they're just really kind of detailed bullet points as we go through this, which will allow us to learn, hopefully learn some of the lessons of faith which these two blind men seek to teach us. If you're taking notes, this is point number one. Number one, the nature of their faith in Jesus, verses 27 and 28. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, what'd they say? "Yes, Lord, amen." I want you to see the nature of their faith in Jesus. Notice what they believed about Jesus himself. Notice what they believed. They called him, this is a real key term in the Gospel of Matthew. This is a real key term here. They called him Son of David, which means what? It means it's a very messianic name. For example, Jesus once asked the Pharisees in Matthew 22, verse 42, he said this, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The Son of David." Clearly, these two blind men, they understood who Jesus was. Who Jesus was. He was the long-awaited Messiah. He was the promised offspring of King David, the one from God whose throne would endure forever. These two men had put the pieces together. They had put the gospel puzzle together, right?
about him, about Jesus, and they believed. You might remember that Matthew introduces Jesus to us in the very beginning of his gospel by saying this in the genealogical record in Matthew 1:1. He said, the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Amen? And yet the cry of these two blind men is the first recorded in Matthew's gospel that anyone actually called him by that name. Now, we go forward here in time in the rest of Matthew's gospel. That name will appear another 7 times, son of David, in reference to Jesus as the Messiah. These old boys might have been blind. They might have not had sight, but they clearly saw him more clearly than anyone else, right? They really did, right? They stumbled upon the truth about him, but believed the truth about him with all of their being. Now, theirs was a saving faith. I believe one day, I'm in time right now, so I refer to the future as one day, but I believe, I can't even say that. Somewhere down the road, somewhere down the road, we're going to see these guys in heaven. We're going to see them. And I also believe that they're going to be able to see us too, right? They're going to be able to see us too. If we have the same faith that they had, praise God, I believe I've got the same faith they got. I'm looking forward to seeing them and talking to them. Notice what they believed about Jesus himself. Secondly, as we think about the nature of their faith in Jesus, their understanding of who Jesus was motivated them to aggressively seek his mercy. Look at how they demonstrated their faith in him. Matthew tells us that they followed him. You read those two verses. They followed him literally even into the house. And again, we see this Greek word for crying out, one word in the Greek. And it indicates, again, a continuous action in the verb as you break that thing down. And so they were continually and persistently crying out for mercy from the Messiah, the Son of David, this Jesus. What's the application here? I mean, it's real obvious to me, but I'm a keen sense of the obvious guy. But think about it. What is the application? These two blind men, these two old boys, they would what? They would not give what? They would not give up. They're not giving up at one inch, right? The reason for their persistence was because they knew with unshakable confidence that because of who Jesus is, who Jesus was, who Jesus is today, he could heal them from their blindness. Now, when he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They answered a strong, affirmative, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, right? Yeah, let's say that together. Yes, Lord, right? One more time. Yes, Lord. That's what they responded. Yes, Lord. Their answer was nothing like the man who once asked Jesus for something with a qualifying if in the Gospel of Mark. He said, if you can. And Jesus told that man, if you can, right? He said, if you can. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. And the old boy cried out, saying, I do believe, help my unbelief, right? Mark 9:22-24. That man was honest in Mark 9:22-24, and Jesus was merciful to him, but I state to you once again that there was no if with these two blind men. There were no qualifications, but just a simple, straightforward, yes, Lord, meaning we believe you, Jesus, can heal us. Can heal us. I want to try to help you with something. Whenever we talk about faith, oh man, whenever we talk about Christ, I want to try to help a misconception here. If we're not careful, we'll dive off into it. There's a difference. There's a difference between faith in Jesus and faith in faith. There's a huge difference here. We've all heard the tragic stories of people who have had sick children and who, in the name of faith, have refused to give those children medicine, medical care, drugs, blood transfusions, any kind of doctor's care. That they usually boast that they rely only on faith, only on their church, or only on this certain flavor of religion. And so, as is often the case, their child dies, and they're prosecuted for what? For criminal neglect, right? In the two blind men's story, though, notice the manner in which the blind men approached Jesus. When Jesus asked if they believed, he could do this, they didn't just answer yes. This is why this is so important. They said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And that last word, Lord, that last word lets us know what they understood about him. They recognized that as Lord, the prerogatives were all his. The prerogatives. The healing they sought was up to him to heal them or to not heal them. Because why? He's Lord, right? And if he chose to heal them, then the manner by which they were healed was also up to him. Jesus' options were endless in that he could have just easily said what he said, it shall be done to you according to your faith. Or he could have said, go to the doctor and I'll grant success to his care for you. Or he could have said, here, let's make some mud pies and put on your eyes. Or he said, hey, go wash down in the River Jordan, wash your face, and when you come up, you'll see. He could have done anything. It's his prerogative. He could have healed or not healed. It's his prerogative. I think when we are saved, baby Christians, we kind of have a tendency to have or to get swept up into or to find ourselves in this faith in faith stuff. I remember back in the seventh grade, that's a long time ago. Lily, that's a long time ago, Dad in the seventh grade. Ooh, man, what grade are you in, Lily? Eighth grade. She's in eighth grade. So that's a long, long time ago for Dad. Seventh grade. We were, a football team in Irving. I can't remember the name of the football team. But we were getting drummed, boy. I mean, we were getting beat. And I remember Jason Salter. Jason was a quarterback, and I think I was on the offensive line. And just imagine putting me on the offensive line. You can tell how bad the team was if Pastor Steve's on the offensive line. Skinny Green Bean, Steve Lee on the offensive line. Something going on here. Not a lot of talent on this team, right? So Jason, man, he would get sacked, or we would get pushed back, or we would turn the ball over, and here we go. We'd get in the huddle, and Jason would start praying, man. He would start praying that we'd get a first down here, or we'd get a that, and this is just right before Lord's, you know, calling me to the ministry and dealing with my heart as a kind of a young pre-adolescent teenager, which is that call I ran from for about 10 or 12 years. But anyway, I knew then something wrong here, right? We're praying for a touch. We're praying for a touchdown. We're praying for a first down. We're praying that we get. It was just bizarre to me, right? That's faith in faith, not necessarily faith in the Lord. See the way people often fall in facing their problems or facing their shortages on the football field or whatever it may be, the way people often fail is by placing their faith in the wrong thing, in the completely wrong. They place their faith in faith itself. There's this huge difference. I want you to see this between faith in Jesus as Lord and faith in faith. Faith in faith, listen to me, very quickly turns faith into a form of magic, of hocus pocus. And our faith is never to be in faith. but only in a divine person, a person who is sovereign, a person who has the prerogatives, a person who acts toward us according to His own will with wisdom and love and authority. See, listen to me today. To place a demand on Him, on Jesus, that He heal, to demand that, or for that matter, that He answer any request we place before Him in the specific way. We're demanding that, not asking that, but we're demanding that. That is to boast in our faith in faith. We're boasting in a faith in faith. And we're treating faith like some kind of lever. We're treating it like we pull it to get the results we want, right? The results we want. And when we do that, we seek to recognize Jesus as Lord. These two blind men give us a great example of faith here. They approach Jesus. They're persistent about Jesus. They don't give up, but their faith was not in the power of faith. Oh, no, 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 no. Rather, in the power of Jesus as Lord. And that makes their faith a what? It makes their faith a very bold and very what? A very Christ-honoring faith. Number one, the nature of their faith in Jesus. Number two today, the response of Jesus to their faith. We pick it back up in verse 28. When He entered the house, the blind man came to Him and Jesus and the blind man came up to Him and Jesus and said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said to Him, "Yes, Lord." Then He touched their eyes. "It shall be done to you according to your faith." We see a back and forth here, don't we? Kind of a dialogue going on here that we can almost surmise as we read this and study this that Jesus seems to have been slow, if you will, kind of thoughtful, if you will, in answering the request for mercy. He appears to almost make them work a little bit at getting an answer. The question is why? Why the back and forth? What's going on here? Well, the reason we do not always see, the reason that we do not always see immediate answers to our prayers is because Jesus is seeking to do what? Jesus is seeking to draw out of us a clear testimony of our faith in Him. A clear testimony. Perhaps Jesus is making us work. He's not making us work for our salvation. That's free, right? But perhaps Jesus is making us work at our prayers because He wants to get us to the point where we trust in nothing but Him personally as Lord first, and we truly see Him for who He really is. Perhaps we do not always get what we're asking for right away because we are not truly asking with the right kind of faith in Him yet. Perhaps we do not get immediate answers to our prayers because we are not yet asking in accordance with His sovereign will to answer. Today, watching online, sitting here in the sanctuary, perhaps you have a need and you feel Jesus is not hearing you cry out to Him. Perhaps God is making you work at your prayer life for a reason. For a reason. In our passage, Jesus makes them declare. He makes them declare and testify of their faith in Him. Jesus encourages them to do what? He encourages them to reveal their heart, and they do with their answer. What's their answer? All together? One more time? Yes, Lord. Their yes, Lord, represents what? It represents a strong, tenacious, persistent work ethic of faith on their part. See, their yes, Lord says, "We believe You can open our eyes and give us our sight." Yes, Lord, we really do believe in Your power. Yes, Lord, look how hard we have worked to get to You. We are physically blind and we followed You into a house. We are persistent. We are persisting. We're going to keep on praying and calling out to you because we really, truly believe that you are the Son of God. You are God in human flesh. You are the Son of David. You are the Messiah, and that you possess the power to give sight to blind people. Just like the Scriptures say. Perhaps they were thinking of Isaiah 35:5. Isaiah 35:5 reads, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped." The nature of their faith in Jesus. Secondly, this morning, the response of Jesus to their faith. And then thirdly and finally, the result of Jesus' response. The result of Jesus' response. Look at verse 30 and 31. "And their eyes were" what? "Open." Praise God. "And Jesus did" what? What did he do? "He sternly warned them, see that no one knows about this." Verse 31 says, "But they went out" and did what? "And spread the news about him throughout that land." The two men, praise God, what'd they get? They received what they asked for. Their eyesight was restored. What is the other result here of Jesus' response? The men were sternly warned, right? Why would Jesus warn them? Why would he say that? Not to tell. Don't go telling about the healing. Don't go specifically talking about how and who did the healing. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he say that? Remember why Jesus has come. Has he come to heal physical ailment? He's come to preach the gospel and the coming kingdom of God. Jesus wanted to have the freedom to do that. He wanted to be able to go from this hamlet to this place, to this little town, to this area. He wanted to be able to travel. There are no helicopters in the day. Everything's by foot, by burrow. I mean, it's slow going. I suspect that Jesus wanted no one to know about their healing, because if they did, then what would happen? The crowds, the word of mouth would travel. The crowds of people would soon so surround him that he could no longer move around freely, that he could no longer preach the gospel, that he could no longer talk about the coming kingdom of God. They were sternly warned. They received what they asked for. And then we see that the men disobeyed. They disobeyed. Now, I want to make two points about their disobedience. Two points. Number one, I don't think we can condone what they did. I mean, it's never good to disobey. We're not supposed to disobey. We're supposed to obey the Lord. Amen. Obey His word. You believe that? Right? But personally, I find blaming them, I find placing blame on them hard to do. On the one hand, we don't condone. On the other hand, I find it real difficult to blame these guys for what they did. I suspect, suspect that they could barely keep the miracle to themselves. When I study this and read this and read the different commentaries on it, there were a lot of blindness, a lot of blindness in biblical times, first century. I kind of lean towards that these two men, at one time in their lives, had the precious gift of sight. Because of disease or sickness or injury, one or both of these men, you know, maybe they both lost it to sickness. Maybe one guy lost it to sickness and disease and the other guy lost it to injury. But I think at one point they had the precious gift of sight. Then the precious gift of sight was taken from them by sickness, disease, or injury, and then to have it fully restored. Can you imagine going from darkness back to light, going from stumbling around completely dark when the sun is shining to being able to see color in faces? And we're not talking about having their sight restored and them needing glasses. We're talking about their sight restored perfectly, right? Not needing cataract surgery, sight restored. Not needing LASIK, sight restored. Not needing contacts, sight restored. Not needing contacts and glasses, sight restored. We're talking about sight restored, baby. We're talking about completely restored. They were probably almost ready to explode with joy over what Jesus had done for them. First, I don't think we can condone what they did, but personally, I find it hard to blame them. Second, notice that in spreading the news of their healing, they focused on who? Their focus was on Jesus' power and not necessarily on their selves personally. Well, verse 31 says, but they went out and spread the news about Him throughout all the land. They testified about Him. They testified about Him because by faith in Him, they could now see. So this is where we end up today. This is it. What need do you have? What struggle are you facing? What trial are you in the midst of? What rock and hard place are you between? What problem are you facing? How great is your need? I hope now that you know that the greatness, the size, the immenseness of what you face, that's not the real question, is it? That really is not the question. The real question is suggested in Jesus' words to the blind man. His words were, it shall be done to you according to your faith. So the real question, how much? How big? How strong is your faith in Jesus? You know, I hope that we can, myself included, I hope we can all have faith as strong as goat's breath. Amen? Just good old strong. You ever smelt a goat's breath? That'll wake you up. I hope we can all have faith as strong as a goat's breath. Right? That's some good old strong faith. What I want to tell you as we close, a little faith goes a long way in Jesus. A little faith. Remember faith the size of a mustard seed? Matthew chapter 17. Well, preacher, how are you going to grow that faith? How are you going to grow that faith? How are we going to have a bigger faith? How are we going to have a stronger faith? How are we going to have a better faith? Well, one of my favorite passages, I mention it all the time, Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God in the King James Version, by the Word of Christ in my translation. Your faith is going to increase by the Word. The Word, how much time are you in the Word? How much time are you in the Word? That's what your faith is. How much time are you in the Word? How much time are you receiving the Word? How much time are you thinking about the Word? How much time are you praying through the Word? How much time? What are you spending? What are you doing? Hey, is it getting in? Are you thinking about it? Are you praying through it? Are you systematic about looking at God's Word, all of God's Word, right? Preacher, I don't have the time you have to be in the Word hours upon hours a day. But you do have some time every day to getting to the Word. And then finally, how do I, need to be in the Word? A little bit of faith goes a long way. How do we grow it? How do we sustain it? How do we have tremendous faith in Jesus? We approach it sometimes, like the man in Mark 9:22-24. He says, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. Everybody has wants. Everybody has needs. Everybody has hurts. Everybody has problems. Everybody has struggles. Everybody's trying to get from point A to point B. Everybody's trying to have their life be about purpose and have a legacy and last. Point people to Christ. If we're saved, there's a lot on our plate about what we think about and how we struggle and all these things. when we have faith in Jesus, my soul, it's got to be, man, when we have faith in Christ, this has got to be the most blessed, incredible, life that you could ever live if you have faith in Christ. Because when you begin to just let go and trust in Him, I guarantee your life's not going to end up the way you thought your life was going to end up, but your life is going to end up so much better. Because He's a sovereign God, and His will and His direction for your life is always best for Him, and it's always best for you. Man, I think about the old ministry that Jesus has called me to, that God has called me to, this gospel ministry thing. I would have never planned it the way it's worked out. But friend, it has been exciting. It has been fun. It has been incredible. It has been a blessing. You don't want to miss that in your life. You just want to kind of let go, and you want to approach Jesus with your cries and your concerns and your passions and your calls. But at the end of the day, you just want to say, yes, Lord, right? I'm going to heal you. Yes, Lord. I'm not going to heal you. Yes, Lord. I'm going to heal your loved one. Yes, Lord. I'm not going to heal your loved one. Yes, Lord. You're going to get this promotion. Yes, Lord. You're not going to get this promotion. Yes, Lord. Just yes, Lord. Because I want to tell you, when we think life is at its darkest, God will always make a way. His way may be to Him in glory, and what a beautiful way that is. His way may be a totally different direction in what your life is heading right now. But man, if He's leading and guiding you, just let Him lead and guide you. And you just, yes, Lord. Amen? Yes, Lord. Let's go to Him in prayer. Can you believe this? This is your early out message. You say, preacher, if you're going to preach a short one, this is a good day to preach a short. You know, I did not want to jinx it. I did not want to mention about a short message when I got going, because I knew as soon as I talk about a short message, that sucker's going to be full length, right? So we just, you know, just let it lie. Looky here. You're going to beat all of those folks to the restaurant or to the house or to the to-go place, wherever you go to get your food. You're going to beat them today. Amen. You're thinking, well, preacher, if you'll just be quiet and pray, we will. Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. If you need to talk with me, speak with me about anything, salvation, you have a need, whatever it may be, just find me down here, and we'll go back to the office and try to have some privacy and talk and figure it all out for you. Amen? Pray with you, whatever you need. All right? Those of you folks online, good to have you today. Still plenty of room to social distance. We would invite you to come back and put your mask on, keep your mask on, and, you know, we're going to do the mask thing here a ways longer, and until we get more shots in the arm and more herd immunity. So just come on back. It'd be good. It'd be fine. And plenty of room to social distance. If you can't do that, we're so thankful you're with us online. And thank you, those of you in attendance and those of you online, for your continued support, prayer-wise, attendance-wise, financial-wise. That's a tough time for churches. Thank you for your sacrifices and your prayers. Amen. Got to keep the thing going. Keep the gospel moving. Amen? All right, let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. We thank you that we can have faith in you to the very point of saying, yes, Lord. And however you answer us, we can respond with an affirmative, yes, Lord. We love you today, Jesus. We know you love us. We thank you for the ultimate price you paid on Calvary for our sins, the blood you shed. And Lord, we pray as the message goes out today, if there's anyone that doesn't know you, their personal Lord and Savior, people that are pulling this message up, this YouTube video up, days, weeks, months, years from now, Lord, I pray that even then you touch their heart, bring conviction to their lives, that they need to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We love you today, Lord. We're so indebted to you. We look forward to living another day in your presence and to walk in another week, if we so get it, to serve you and be obedient to your will and your way for our lives. Thank you for your sovereignty over us and how you're directing us and leading and guiding us. We seek to be submissive and teachable and vulnerable before you. So, Lord, you might help us and grow us and train us up in the way we should go. We love you today. We praise you with everything within us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Very good. Those of you online, you have a blessed afternoon. We'll see you back here live. We'll be live and live stream on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We look forward to that time of Bible study and prayer time with you. Awana's is going back on. So Wednesday night, Bible study, youth time, Awana's, all that stuff. Over in the Sunday school building. Hope you can make it. You guys have a blessed afternoon. Those of you online, those of you here, be safe. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.